Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
They won more battles. Talked to the team about that after the first period. They were quicker. They were stronger on pucks. So, you know, it's a will. The 50-50 is a will. The will to hang on to it in the ozone. I think when we got going in the second period, we saw what that looked like. But starting a game like that, there's no excuse for it.
Could have used a little more zest in that opening 20, and perhaps it would have been a different result. Marty, welcome in to a Friday edition of Sabres Live, which, yep, of course, features Shayna Goldman a little later and Michael Leone a little earlier. He is the head coach of the Amerks, so we look forward to previewing their matchup with the Marlies not only tonight, but they have a back-to-back with them this weekend. But honestly, I'm sitting here not knowing how I should read the score. It was 6-4 for Columbus. Is that indicative of the game? Is it too flattering towards the Sabres? Is it too harsh? Like, this was a strange one for me.
Well, you know, there's a saying is to fix a problem, you got to know what the problem is. I still can't look at last night and pinpoint it to one problem. I can look at last night and pinpoint it to a lot of problems. And I think the last two nights, the Pittsburgh game and the Columbus games, but despite the 6-5 and the 6-4 results, they were both very different games. And, you know, they were both games that the Sabres could have easily won. Even when it's 4-3-0 and power scores late in the second, you're thinking, okay, a last-minute goal is going to propel the Sabres to get one good period. One good period of hockey is going to win you a game. Mm-hmm. And 13 seconds into the third, it comes crashing in, right? And the giveaways and the puck management, when it had been an issue the night before, is on display again. Was it a good night by Luukkonen on Wednesday night? Nah, it wasn't a great night, but at least the expected goals for Pittsburgh were 6. So he gave up 6 when the expected goals were 6.
Right, yeah.
Because defensively, the Sabres were not good at all. Last night's game, the expected goals were not even 2 for Columbus. So that was not a good night for Devon Levi. And Lindy Ruff actually mentioned the Marchenko goal that made it 2-0 late in the first as not a good goal. But okay, it wasn't a really good play by Mathias Samuelsson either. So it starts with Sammy giving the puck away to a Yuri Kulik that was going for a change. And it's not a good goal, but and there's plays that happened before. So I'm like, what's the problem on this one? Is that the Samuelsson pass? Is that the Levi giving up the goal? Like, it's just it. So to fix it, you got to know what the problem is. I'm having a hard time pinpointing to one problem right now when I look at goals individually and overall of a game.
Yeah, I think that's where my confusion lies, not only with the final score of 6-4, but some of the numbers within it. Like, to sit here and think that Buffalo had twice as many, is that right? High danger chances last night?
Yeah, it was 14-7 at the end of the night.
For Buffalo?
Yes.
Like, it did not appear to be a game, to me, where Buffalo would have had a 2-1 advantage in opportunities.
Okay.
Like, well, I didn't think that. No, all that does is accentuate what you just said. Pretty tough night in their own zone and from the goaltender out, right? Columbus had very few opportunities. They made the most of all of them, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
But I just didn't think Buffalo had enough going offensively that they could have ever been in a position to have outchanced their opponent 2-1. It's just, it's a strange one, and it's, it obviously, because you can tell my reaction, it's surprising. Like, I did not see this kind of effort or outcome coming in this situation. Now, that being said, I actually fully expected Columbus to be even better than what they were in their first game in front of their home fans. And they hung in and played so hard and so well and so emotionally against Florida. But I expected them to be better. I think they got the result they wanted last night. I'm not sure how much better they were, but hey, the result is all that matters.
Yeah, but okay, so again, this is where I'm looking at last night, and you talk about the numbers. One number that stood out to me when I was watching, and this is why, please do not pay attention to stats like giveaway and takeaways and all of that at the end of the night.
Hits?
Okay, well, let me tell you that
there were almost none last night, and that to me is disappointing based on what they're supposed to be bringing at this
point. Were right? 9-6 for Buffalo last night. So whoever's taking the hits,
I think the statistician inadvertently put his elbow on the marker like 15 times.
But okay, giveaways were 14-13 by Columbus. So Columbus gave away more pucks than Buffalo. But then when I look at the giveaways and I see that Matthias Samuelsson has no giveaways, and I'm like, we clearly saw that he gave the puck away to Marchenko on the goal. So I'm like, don't look at the stats when you look at hits, giveaways, takeaways, because it doesn't mean anything. It's one person's view of the game. At the end of the night, it doesn't mean anything. So that's one. But we've talked with Shayna Goldman last week about teams that have changed their colors a little bit from a rush team to have been able to adjust, right? Mm-hmm. So I look at Pittsburgh. Okay, well, the first goal, Tage Thompson, is a bad play by Tristan Jarry with the puck. But then it's Greenway on the rush. It's Peterka in a two-on-one. It's Peterka gets behind everybody, comes in and scores. And it's McLeod on a high cycle. So really one goal was the result of spending time in the offensive zone, okay, mm-hmm. against Pittsburgh. You scored five. One of them is time spent in the offensive zone. Yesterday, you've got the 2-1 goal, which is McLeod all alone on a nice play by Sucker. That's a rush goal, right? You got Kulik. It's a deflection off of a faceoff. It wasn't really established in some zone time. It was you win the draw, you get a shot on net, you score. You've got power and a rebound. That was the only one.
Wasn't even a rebound.
No, it was a block.
No, it was a pass from their defenseman. Block. That's why it was unassisted.
It was a giveaway.
No, I couldn't believe it. Like it ended up like as when you hear it and kind of see it unfold, you hear Dahlin the shot, boom, power puts it back. And then I was like, wait a minute, unassisted. And yes, it was a direct pass.
It was a kind of a pass where you jam yourself and it goes to power. Yeah. But I'm looking, okay, so that's another issue is that one of the thing, yes, the Sabres can try to play with speed, but at the end of the day, what makes a team able to win a game 3-2 or 4-3 instead of losing it 6-5 or 6-4 is that you're going to spend time in the offensive zone. You're going to have the puck 200 feet away from your net. You're going to wear teams down. There was no wearing down of Chinnikov or Fantilli or Marchenko yesterday. Werenski and Provorov were doing whatever they wanted with the puck. Mm-hmm. There was no wearing down of anybody. And that is something that I feel Lindy Ruff is very disappointed about. When he talks about the game, he talks about we were sleepy. Yeah. You know what? Like, I get it's back-to-back, but you know who else wasn't sleepy yesterday at the start of their game, having played a back-to-back game, having lost 8-7 and 6-2 in their previous two games was the LA Kings. They played back-to-back. In the short distance travel from Toronto to Montreal, so did Edmonton, you know, going to Nashville. They won both. But, like, you can't use – don't tell me back-to-backs are
– Was Edmonton not back-to-back? Am I wrong on that? Was Edmonton not back-to-back?
I'm not sure.
I could be blending the days. It doesn't matter.
But I know that LA was back-to-back, and they responded in Montreal against a team that they're like, we have to beat, and we have to play straight from the start of the game. And Buffalo, after that loss to Pittsburgh, needed to have that same attitude, and the sleepy start was definitely not acceptable. Now, you know, I don't want to kind of mix and match a lot of things, but sometimes there's things that come back to my head that other people have said. And I remember Don Granato saying that last year and even the year before, that when you are under stress or under pressure, sometimes individuals revert to old habits. And that was one of the things Don Granato used to always say, I have to break the old habits to be able to move forward. And what I saw out of the last two games were old habits, old negative losing habits that when the Sabres were, when Pittsburgh came back at them, they panicked, they reverted to old habits. When Columbus took a 2-0 lead and then a 3-1 and kept coming back, scoring a goal 3 seconds, a minute right after.
They had three response goals.
Exactly. When they got their response goals, like, reverting to old habits. And that is where the biggest problem lies for me. When I look at, to be able to fix the problem, you got to know what the problem is. These reverting to old habits and panicking and making bad plays and turning the puck over, that to me is the biggest thing that I saw in the last 2 days that I was blown away. I was like, we're done with this, you know, like giveaways and players caught out of position and, you know, not being strong in front of your net. Like, we're done with this. This is going to be completely different. And the old habits reared their ugly heads in the last 48 hours.
You mentioned the Marchenko goal earlier as being one that, you know, like, I really like Marchenko as a shooter, so I don't see as much issue on that one where he scored on Levi simply because he's a good shooter. Did you see the third goal for Fantilli as a tough rebound to give up?
100%. I know there's a screen, but that's I remember going to Francois Allaire, the goalie guru, and my very first goalie school with him in Montreal. He's doing a classroom session, him and Benny Allaire. And they're like, goaltending's equipment is 95% supposed to give out rebounds. The 5% is your glove. When a shot is going to your glove, catch it. So you're not giving a second opportunity. Now, I understand there's a screen on the play, but and Levi almost got the rebound, right? When Fantilli scored, he almost got a piece of it. Good battle. But you can't give up that rebound. That is, and really the Mathieu Olivier goal too. The Sabres make it 3-4. No, they made it 3-2, right? And that was with the Kulik goal. And right the next shift, Connor Clifton gets in on the play, gets a shot blocked. Malenstein is playing defense with Samuelson to back him up. And it's a 3-on-3. The pass gets put between Malenstein's feet. Olivier is a right-handed shot. He's cutting to the middle. And you know what? Like, it's a good play. It's a guy all alone. There's a save. That's a save there, right? That's the same thing, in my opinion.
I suppose, yes. My concern is my notes had that this was a 3-on-4 and that Columbus went untouched to the goal. And I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean? Like,
and I don't want to put the blame on Malenstein. He's a forward playing.
No, I'm not. I'm blaming the four that were in the picture and somehow let Columbus go to the net untouched. Like, there's.
I'd like to see Sammy come over a little bit because he knows it's a forward there and he's like, hey, I got to help him out. Yep. And I'd like him to slide over, help out the partner.
And based on what has been talked about, I would have liked more speed and urgency on the neutral zone backcheck.
Backcheck, because
this is one of the lines that is supposed to have the speed in its game, right? So again, it just, I'll go right back to the start and sorry to beat the dead. Oh, by the way, Edmonton was not back to back. So yes, that was a stupid thing for me to say. But I'm just surprised.
Lafferty was right there, half a step back to catch, catch a puck carrier on the entry. And you're right. Like, everybody needs to help out. It's that time, like, where everybody needs to do a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also had written, which you basically said in a, with different words earlier, that many of the Columbus goals were not earned, so to speak. They were too easy. Yeah. The goals came too easy for them. And that makes for a very long, obviously.
The goal early in the third period, right? 13 seconds in.
It's 2-on-4 when they casually came into the zone. And unfortunately, not one Sabre wanted to make a situation a 2-on-1 or take a lane away. I couldn't believe how easily it unfolded
again,
for them.
I love this new feature on NHL.com. And I've talked about it before, the goal simulation, because it's like you see the numbers move and the players tracking. So they entered the zone, right, on the half wall. And now we saw Power and Dahlin play a shift together at the end of the second period, which led to a goal. Power scores. So now I'm like, oh, let's take a look, because I would pretty much guarantee you that Power and Dahlin are going to play together in the third period and try to change things up, especially on the back end. And that's the first shift of the period. Yep. And Owen Power is on the right side and Dahlin comes underneath. You know how the weak side defenseman comes underneath and then there's a switch? Mm-hmm. Well, Power reads that Dahlin's coming over. So he bails.
Man, I just hit my butt.
Give me a second, it's going to come back. That I again, I get too excited and I hit the buttons on my microphone.
Like you're at the drive-thru.
I know exactly. It sounds really muffled. But so because of the switch underneath, Dallene comes over and Power reads that, oh, Dallene's coming over, so I'm going to go towards the middle. But Dallene peels off. And then nobody takes Aston Reese in the slot because everybody is kind of peeling off and turning away. Again, like this is a very correctable mistake. But reverting to old habits have been the problem here. And this was one of the problem when you look at being aggressive. Oh, we need to play on our toes. We need to play forward. We need to play fast. We need, okay, well, I can show you like so many examples of that didn't happen. And why it didn't happen? Well, because you reverting to old habits, which are not good habits because they haven't produced anything yet.
The end result is Buffalo's 1-4-1 through the first six. They have a game to go on the trip. It is tomorrow night in Chicago. We'll be on there at 7:30. Pre-game coverage on MSG. Of course, when the Sabres are back home, we definitely want to see you for Hockey Halloween. That's October 26th. It's a 1 p.m. start. The Wings are in. Spookiest costume is what we're encouraging, and we want you to celebrate Halloween with the first 5,000 fans in attendance receiving a wearable Goathead-themed flag, and there will be a trick-or-treat trail available for the first 1,000 fans in attendance in the concourse. So visit sabres.com/tickets today. If you're looking for the hockey fix in the area tonight, no better place than Blue Cross Arena, where the Amerks are hosting the Marlies tonight. Head coach Michael Leone with us right now. Michael, how are you? How would you sum up the start to the season so far?
You know what? It's been really good. Obviously, would have liked a better outcome on the Friday, but I really think looking back on that opportunity that we got to have playing those preseason games really helped the group. You know, our record was probably better than I thought it would be playing those preseason games, but we played a lot of really good hockey. I think the first game Friday night, we were a little, I would say, you know, timid nerves. And then the game Saturday in Utica was a really good performance from the group. We were, I think the shots were 17-2 in the first period. We played a really good game away from the puck, like where the group is at, and excited for the opportunity tonight to compete against a really good team.
Now, you mentioned training camp. It was unique with the team, the Sabres going to Europe, and you guys having to really stay here in Buffalo, play a lot of preseason games, get that opportunity. Who stood out? Who stood out to you, a guy that, oh, you know what? Maybe that person or these players would not have gotten NHL preseason games, experiences, or opportunity, and kept that going now in the start of the season with your club?
No, really good question. Yeah, I think a lot of our, just if you look at obviously our core, it's a younger group. Just to see the younger players, the Oslins, the Heleniuses, the Wahlbergs play those preseason games, the Komarovs, and play really well, I think set them up to have a lot of confidence to start the season. Even, you know, players like Murr and Yabo had a great preseason for us playing those NHL games. And I think, you know, especially the game in Columbus, it was pretty much their full lineup in ice. That was some of our younger players' best games. And I think it was a great opportunity for our group and how we wanted to play, and bled into the first couple of games here that we started our season.
I you know what? I think Zach Metz, for me, was a guy that stood out in the Sabres preseasons. And now he started the year with a couple of assists in the two games. But really, really was one that you had to notice by how he played in the preseason.
Yeah, I knew I was going to miss somebody, but he had a great just his competitiveness. He did a real nice job on the power play, the way he defended away from the puck, especially for undersized defensemen. And it started his season on the right note for sure.
When you took the job and started looking at the potential roster, did you envision the lines the way they may be right now? And the reason I ask is because you've not shied away from putting a lot of your youngest players together on lines, where I think instinctively, some people might go, could use a little more of a veteran like on each one here. How and why did you kind of land where you are with this line combination so far?
You know, we kind of went away from that. We did it in preseason, and then the first game of the year, we kind of got away from that. And we went with kind of slotting guys with older players, and the outcome we lost. So we went back to what we did in preseason. And I just think it's, you know, you give, obviously they're young players, but you got to throw them out there and you got to see what they can do. And I would say the biggest thing with these young guys is their play away from the puck and their habits are really good. So sometimes they're really young. You look at the lineup sheet and you see the birth year, but it's been really impressive to watch their details away from the puck, and you can kind of see it in the preseason. And they've done even the game in Utica. I look at up and down the lineup. We were skating. We were relentless on pucks. And I think it's been a trend now on the past month and a half, and we just have to keep it going. But I think with young players, yeah, as long as they're working and they're competing, obviously mistakes happen in game, but where the identity piece and the standard we want to play with, as long as they're out there, they give us a good chance. And I think it builds on when the season moves on. What does that player look like in November and January? And they just making sure we keep getting better.
You talk about the youth, but one guy that is not so young, but look good in preseason and look good in his first start of the year is Michael Hauser. He's 32 years old, but the house cat can still pull it. And obviously the Sabres lose James Reimer on waivers. He was probably technically the third goalie, probably your guy to rely on in Rochester, but house cat had a great start. How impressed and what did you know about Michael Hauser when you took the job?
Well, the one thing I will say is after the first loss, yeah, everybody on staff was, we're all right. We got Housecat in Utica. I think he's 7-1. So he was outstanding. You hear about him, you know, just what a great teammate he is. And then in the room, how he is every day. I think guys love playing for him. I mean, there's something to be said about that. And he's done a really good job, did a really nice job in preseason. And he made a couple of really big saves in that game when it was 2-1, where he kept it there. We did a really good job away from the puck. But the saves he needed to make, he was awesome. But just being around him, the life that he gives to the group, his energy, it's been great to see.
Sandstrom tonight, Hauser tomorrow, the expectation?
Yes, Sandy's go tonight.
And then last one for me is, as you're, you know, taking on this first job in pro hockey, how challenging is it to put the lineup together each night, knowing that certain veteran players aren't going to get in every night, but obviously have the resume that says, boy, it's pretty hard to take this person out?
Yeah, no, I think it starts with the communication piece. I think that's really important to communicate with the players on where they're at. And I think that's a really big thing with players nowadays. You just got to make sure you're honest. And sometimes they may not like to hear what you have to say, but as long as it's honest and it's coming from a good place, I think it goes a long way. And yeah, just sometimes it's when the group's playing well. Some guys, like we look at our lineup in Utica that night, you know, everybody top to bottom, you know, even our Kozak line, they gave us a lot of good minutes, a lot of momentum shift after goals. And, you know, when the team plays well, sometimes you keep the lineup the same and we're going to go with the same lineup. But I think the communication piece is huge. And then even, you know, we put the line together of Murr and Dunner, and they played really good in preseason together, and Yabo, and they give us a lot of, you know, responsible shifts, but also ozone time where they can wear on guys. So like the way we play now, we just have to keep it going.
You mentioned, I mean, Green Bay in the USHL, the NTDP and all of that. The bus trips were a lot longer going in the Midwest and everything. You guys went to Syracuse, Utica. You're going to Toronto. Can't even take a nap or watch a movie in those trips.
Oh, no. I told the guy, this is easy. This is going to
be that's what I was going to say. Is this a change for you?
Yeah. No, even I, I probably got too used to that plane rides with
in preseason.
Oh yeah, those were great. But no, the travel's been really good. Not like we had a couple really long ones, 6-hour game day trips to Cedar Rapids. This is a lot better.
Talk about trying to fire up your team after they've been on the bus for 6.5 hours to play a game the same day. Ikes.
Yeah.
Short trips this weekend for both you and for the Marlies, obviously, in this back-to-back. Good luck tonight. Thank you for your time, as always.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
Coach Leone with the Amerks. We're back after this. Shayna Goldman joins us next on Sabres Live.